Hi, everybody. Yes, Judy G. I love the title of this event today. Yo-Yo, you're on your own, because I am mess up queen of the world. I sure understand about yo-yo dieting. And the only issue I would take with that is I am not on my own. Oh, no. Oh, no, I am not on my own. My higher power right there got my hand. So, yes, I am from Yuma. Oh, Beth, I'm sorry, but I am a lousy extemporaneous speaker. You're going to have to put up with me in my notes, too. Sorry. But I'm from Yuma now via Toronto and then West Memphis, Arkansas, and then Phoenix. And here I am. I remember when we were moving here, my friends nearly had a wake for me. Oh, my God, how could you live in Yuma? And I wouldn't want to live anywhere else now, even in the dead of summer. I am a compulsive overeater. I suffer from binge eating disorder, and I'm a recovered bulimic. But please note that I said recovered, not cured. I wake up untreated every single day, every single morning. But by working the program diligently, most days I live in gratitude and grace. And I'm so glad to be here with you today, able to share some aspects of my journey and hopefully to lend some hope to you if your own journey has not followed a straight line. So first of all, to claim my seat, yes, I've maintained a healthy 60-pound plus weight loss for lots of years now, and more importantly, have not had to abuse my body with the violence of bulimia for many years. I practice self-compassion, self-acceptance, and gratitude. And that was not always the case, believe me. So here's the question. How did I change from someone who hated every single thing about herself to someone who loves and accepts herself? And the simple answer is, I didn't change. I was changed. That's my higher power's work. That was the program's work. I started turning to food to escape at about age 12, following a traumatic experience. My disease didn't careen out of control, though, until I left home at the earliest possible moment at age 17. Without anyone around to monitor my food intake, what I was eating, I bought and ate copious amounts of food every day. I would isolate with romance novels and eat until the food was all gone, and then buy some more if I could afford it. I recall one night when I was literally rolling on the floor in the bathroom in enormous pain, certain that my stomach was about to rupture. That did not stop me from binging the following day. About that time, I began taking dextrine, which a friend stole for me from a hospital where he worked. I didn't realize that what I was taking was speed, but I certainly knew that it worked. It was very effective. No hunger, no sleep either, of course. The point is that I was absolutely unable to accept my body as it was. And honestly, I really wasn't fat at that time, perhaps a little plump. But I compared myself to the magazine photos of models, and in my opinion, came up far short. I married and learned all about what loneliness really is, and spent my days in front of the TV eating and eating, reading endless romance novels, and so on. I hated my life. I hated myself. I remember a funny incident. I put up signs all over the kitchen cupboards with messages on them that I hoped would encourage me to get onto a diet and stick to it. But of course, in time, those signs became like wallpaper and I didn't even see them anymore. Messages like, look in the mirror, fat ass. Nice things like that. Kind ways to treat myself. Then one day my husband's cousin came to visit, and she saw those signs. And she was startled, to say the least. I was horrified. I was embarrassed. I want to interject something here. I divorced my first husband after 5 years. Actually, it was really 10 years by the time we got divorced. And I was convinced over the years that everything that happened was his fault. Nothing was my fault ever, of course. And I made amends to him finally, and he died 2 weeks later. It was really interesting, I think, the timing. It's a higher power thing, isn't it? Anyway, I spent a few years following that divorce single, a very slim single, thanks to the diet pills that I was now able to take legally in Canada. The day I remarried, I suffered from a splitting headache due to the diet pill that I took even that day. Then horrors, the Canadian government no longer allowed doctors to prescribe diet pills willy-nilly, and my supply of speed was cut off. I was absolutely unwilling to accept what I thought was a fat body, and I saw no other option than to begin to practice bulimia. And then, of course, the real nightmare began. We moved to the Mid-South, where I strove to fit in, but was in fact miserable. I would drive my kids to school, stop at the convenience store on the way home, and load up on junk. Salty, sugar. At one point, I was vomiting up to 6 times a day and frequently abusing laxatives too. I did all of this in absolute secret. My husband never knew. I'm not kidding, over years. I did it, you know, waiting to be alone or depositing what I ate and what I had just eaten in toilets in various restaurants where I binged. I was lonely. I was depressed. More importantly, I was filled with self-hate. In program, I've heard countless people say that they're allergic to sugar. The truth is that when I was binging, I ate anything and everything. It didn't matter if it even tasted good. It really didn't. Filling that oral gap was what all that mattered. I had no idea that the gap was actually in my soul. No idea. I just couldn't stop binging. I didn't even want to stop binging. That was my pastime. Then a miracle happened. My husband, who is Catholic, had made friends with the Bishop of Memphis. And so he came home one day and told me that the bishop had asked for a day of prayer and fasting for a special intention. I have no idea today what that special intention was all about. But in any case, I didn't even hear the word prayer. I just remember thinking, you want a day of fasting? I'll give you a week. So Friday morning, I began fasting. I had about 2 ounces of orange juice, nothing else, no prayer. Saturday morning, I was really surprised that I was not hungry in the least. No sustenance of any kind at all that day, and certainly no prayer. It didn't even cross my mind. Sunday, I woke up, and I'd moved from surprise at my lack of appetite, to profound gratitude. The monkey was off my back. I couldn't believe it. I had no interest in food, nothing. Finally, about 6 o'clock Sunday night, I remembered, oh, I was supposed to pray. I went down to my room and closed the door. My husband had taken me to a priest ordination sometime previously, so I lay down on the floor, on the rug, you know, flat out. I'm going to pray. And I felt pretty silly, so I got up off the rug and I went over to my bed and knelt down by my bed. I'm going to pray. And then my knees started to hurt, so I got up off the bed and laid on the bed. And something happened. Well, here's the thing. Every time I had ever prayed, it was sort of like, God, I need, he needs, she needs, please help. But this was not like that. From the bottom of my heart, I was filled with deep gratitude because I had been relieved of my obsession. The monkey was off my back. I kept saying, thank you, thank you, thank you. And there are no human words to describe what happened next. There was an amazing presence, but it was not out there, up there. It was inside. And the best way to describe it is to say it was an overwhelming, accepting love. And so when they say God is love, that for me is accurate. That's what it was. Later that week, I picked up a copy of the Memphis newspaper, The Commercial Appeal, and I saw an ad for Overeaters Anonymous. I'd never heard of it, but I thought, wait, I eat the way an alcoholic drinks. So I drove to my first OA meeting that week. So the miracle continues? No. Was I struck abstinent? No. Did I get the program and never look back? No. I can't even begin to tell you how many times I turned my back on my higher power. I have no idea why my journey has had so many twists and turns. All I can tell you for sure is that ego played an enormous part in my recovery stumbles. I always knew what would work better, the next book, the next, you know. I even ran a successful plant-based program for the Hospital Foundation here, ever looking for that magic bullet that was actually right in front of my nose the whole time. I just wasn't willing. I wasn't. And truthfully, I was still very busy beating myself up. God loves Judy, but Judy didn't love Judy. So what finally worked for me? This is what finally worked. Putting God and program first in my life. Working the steps again and again and again. Most recently, a few of us worked a year-long method. The Herb K method was fabulous. I really, really recommend it. And as a result, the people that worked it together have become very close, and it's like, you know, my heart. Studying the big book works for me, and it's not that OA doesn't have wonderful literature, it does, but for me, the message of recovery is in the big book. Working with a recovered sponsor, service, oh, yes, service. I have 10 sponsees. I do a lot of service one way and another. Why? Because it keeps me here. It keeps me sane. That's it. Self-compassion. I am kind to me. Another thing I do, I mean, I do what everybody else says. I spend like probably an hour and a half to 2 hours every morning reading, studying, praying, meditating, texting with sponsees and so on. This stuff is so important to me. By the way, I wanted to say too, right now, that same group who went through the steps over a year are studying Drop the Rock. We've just kind of started now, but boy, that's a fabulous book about the 6th and 7th step. So over the years, as I said, I've noticed that apparently not many OA fellows really have been on a perfect, smooth journey. Some have, of course, but definitely not all. My sponsor has 40 plus years of abstinence, and that it impresses me, but it also amazes me. That was not my experience. I've learned that self-compassion is so important. Let's face it, we daily face a food environment that promotes SAD, the standard American diet. When we make the decision to follow a healthy food plan in OA, we may be hijacked at every turn. We are inundated with television ads and billboards that tell us that some unhealthy food is delicious and we should give into the crave. Oh, I hate that term. Added to that, because of our former, my former unhealthy eating habits, I've developed old neural pathways that will cause me to respond to the old cues that restaurant where I used to binge, that convenience store where I bought junk. Those old pathways, they're quiet now, but they are just waiting for me to mess up. As they say, they're doing push-ups in the parking lot. It's not easy. It's not easy. And that's the truth for me. What saves me? I call my higher power God. That's what saves me. I set my phone alarm to go off every 3 hours, all day long. Not all night, all day long. That's my God pause. Simple, effective. And as I said, I do service with a capital C. I've told myself, I love you, Judy, so often. I look in the mirror. I love you, Judy. I touch the parts of my body that formerly distressed me. I love you, Judy. And I've done that so often, so many times, that it's become true. And here I am, 80 years old now, a lot saggier than I was, you know, when I started this program. But it's true. I love who I am today. And that's because of you. And, you know, in huge part, it's because of this program. It's not been a straight line for me, not a perfect journey. It took what it took. And honestly, I wouldn't trade a minute of it. I guess that's what I have to share with you today. Thank you.